Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As you know, there's been a lot of concerns around a global recession, how the global markets have reacted today, and truth be told, it's been dreary. I mentioned this earlier this morning when we did our business update on Seize the World that, yeah, after 9 o'clock, we should prepare ourselves for some jitters. And jitters is exactly what we saw. The All Share Index pulling back by just shy of 2%, well below that psychologically important 80,000 point level. US equities also seeing at least 2 trillion rand so far being wiped off in terms of performance, and all eyes have been on the Nikkei in Japan, seeing levels that we haven't seen since what's described as Black Monday back in 1987. Now, despite all of this panic, of course, we also know that as investors who are in this journey for the long term, that a sell-off presents an opportunity to actually buy the dips. And someone who's going to talk us through some of these themes while contextualizing this market panic that we do see at the moment is Finance Ghost, a good friend of Kaya Biz. Such a pleasure to speak to you, Ghost.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Fantastic. I must tell you, I was reading up your newsletters in the last few days. It's been fun-filled with the Olympics, some company updates we had from retailers last week, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to write about tomorrow on the back of this bloodbath. But let's start there.
Me too. I haven't decided yet.
Fantastic. Let's start there because it is quite a bit of panic, and many South Africans might be sitting here thinking again, oh, goodness, what's happening? But it's an interplay between the moves we see in Japan, economic data in the US, and concerns about a slow reaction to interest rate cuts in that economy as well. Help us make sense of it all before we talk about some buying opportunities.
Yeah, look, the macroeconomics are kind of all over the place at the moment. We've lived in a pretty crazy world for the last few years, very unusual and very accelerated monetary policy, the kind of stuff that you normally see play out over several years, you know, played out over a year or two on either end. And so obviously that drives a lot of volatility because that's what interest rates do, is they drive behavior in the market. They either suck up liquidity or they help make sure that there's more of it to drive activity.
Yeah.
And we've kind of seen just accelerated responses to macroeconomics. I must say, for anyone who's been following the markets the past few years, it's actually been a really cool way to see how monetary policy works.
Right.
Because normally it's quite slow and steady, whereas now you've kind of seen these incredible ups and downs, and yeah, you know, you don't need to necessarily go and break out the textbooks to see it play out in front of you, which is quite exciting. So there's a bit of a risk off trade at the moment. There was always going to be something that kind of pops those valuations. I mean, that is the thing with bubbles, is something pops it. You don't know what it's going to be, but at some point something happens where everyone just panics and goes, hang on, you know, maybe this isn't such a great idea, let me take profit. And that's kind of what happened today, especially in the East and the US to some extent. But this NASDAQ sell-off has been going on for a little bit now. So, you know, it kind of took the Nikkei shock this morning and the news that everyone woke up to actually get people talking about this stuff.
And maybe let's also contextualize the East, because they actually have a very vibrant retail investor community there, which has been actively involved in the equity space. Is this also a bit of a factor?
Look, I think this is more unwinding of carry trades and institutional flows. I think when you see an entire index, you know, take a 10% bath, it's pretty much only institutional flows that can achieve that. Where you see the sort of retail investor having an impact on pricing is more your typical small caps and your thinly traded stocks and maybe a few mid caps. But anything bigger than that, to see moves of this size, it's definitely massive, massive institutional flows. Mm. Great news for the US investment banks, by the way, that I hold in my portfolio, among other things, because flows in their world mean fees. Mm. And for the rest of us, flows mean volatility.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because this does mean that there is opportunity in the market overall. And maybe let's also focus on the US. Again, some concerns about them dipping into a recession. We've heard these concerns before, calls for a Fed meeting, but certainly not a time for us to panic, is it?
Look, you know, you've got to be really careful with panicking, because what you end up doing is you then buy when the headlines are great and you buy at inflated valuations, and then you end up selling when something goes wrong. And what you're actually doing is the exact opposite of what you should do. So it's one of the hardest things to get right in the markets, is to kind of have that discipline to say, you know what, when something like this happens, you only lose money if you actually sell your shares. Yes, if you're trading on leverage, et cetera, it's a bit different. But the only way you actually lose the money is if you crystallize that loss by selling at a lower price than you bought at. And there are a million ways to avoid that. For one thing, don't go and throw all your money in at the top of a market. You know, people talk about dollar cost averaging and buying over time. All of that is really sensible advice, and you don't necessarily need to be a markets expert to just consistently buy, as opposed to waiting for everything to look perfect and then saying, right, now's my chance, you know, let me empty my savings account into the market. That's when things can go badly. So, for example, the first thing I did this afternoon was buy Microsoft, Uber, and Meta as the market opened. And literally within minutes of that market opening, they were already higher than I wanted to get them at. I still got them at a pretty good price because I think that this thing might have been a little bit overblown. Now, that's not to say that it won't be what they call a dead cat bounce in the market, which means that the thing just kind of keeps on dropping. And that's fine. If it does, I'll just happily keep adding the companies that I want to own at better and better prices. And this is the joy of having a longer term lens, you know, being relatively young. That's the right way to build wealth over time, is to actually take advantage of days like today and treat it as a sale as opposed to a reason to panic.
I'm glad that you mentioned this because it certainly is riding out the wave over the long term and not actually locking in your losses by selling just because of the red that we see on our screens. But that also helps us to, I guess, contextualize some big influences like the likes of Berkshire Hathaway. As we know, they actually offloaded 50% of their shareholding in the likes of Apple. And sometimes that can lead us astray, right, Ghost? Because we follow what it is that our idols tend to do. But how do we avoid this while still following
in? See, so now I'm going to break.
Go ahead.
I'm going to break my own advice now and tell you that Berkshire selling down Apple should not be ignored. And the reason I say that is because I've been looking at Apple recently, and the problem you've got with Apple is that for the past, you know, decade and a half, it's been all about the iPhone, right? The iPhone changed the world. That was their big, big product. The rest of Apple, pretty average on hardware, let's be honest. So that's been a huge driver. And what's happened is the market has been willing to pay more and more per dollar of earnings at Apple. And the way you see this is you go and just check the earnings multiple. The good old price earnings multiple on Apple is much, much higher now than it was 10 years ago. So what that means is part of the share price increase has been the valuation, not just the earnings growth. Now, eventually you run out of road. The valuation multiple can only go so high, right? There's a limit to what people are willing to pay per dollar of earnings. And that leaves you with a return going forward that at best is the earnings growth at Apple. And this is the kind of research people tend not to do, is to go and say, well, what has the earnings growth been in the past decade? Oh, actually it's been, you know, 8% or 9% a year on average. Well, hang on, that's actually not crazy exciting, is it? I mean, those are not the sort of returns that we're used to seeing out of Apple. So I think Berkshire Hathaway has ridden that wave of multiple expansion quite beautifully. And for me, Apple is, of the sort of Magnificent Seven, probably my second least favorite, I guess, at the moment. I still own Apple and I'm not sad about that, but it's a smaller percentage of my portfolio than some of the other big names. That doesn't mean I'm going to run off and sell it, because Apple could shock us and come out with the best VR product we've ever seen, and they could come out with what is basically the next iPhone. So that's why you have to be careful about running away from a stock. That's why he only sold half, right? Berkshire didn't sell all their Apple shares. He just looked at it and said, we've got too much of this stuff. Let's just reduce that exposure and rather redeploy the capital somewhere else, which is something you can achieve in your own portfolio by just buying other things.
Yes.
If my whole portfolio got bigger and I did it by buying something other than Apple, Apple as a percentage of the total just went down. So case in point this afternoon, when I bought Microsoft, Meta, and Uber, that means Apple in my portfolio becomes a smaller percentage going forward.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because it's actually a practical example that we can learn from, and probably just speaks to repositioning your portfolio, but also further diversification, but still having a level of exposure to some stocks that you believe might underperform. I want to take it back to your question that you actually posted on Twitter earlier, on X, I beg your pardon, essentially asking, so what are you buying in the dips today? And for some of us as retail investors here in South Africa, we might be slightly perplexed, but I guess without going to too much of the technicalities of price earnings ratio, deep value versus you know, some additional stocks, I'm keen for you just to give us a quick overview as to how to consider buying this in the sale, essentially.
Absolutely. So the answer is always the same, which is read. So yes, the multiple and the valuations, those are all really important things, but common sense and a lot of reading will do miracles for you. So case in point, you know, with Apple, you just need to look at the world around you. When last did Apple release a showstopper of a product? Honestly, when last? No one really cares anymore when a new iPhone comes out, right? It's not like 10 years ago where it was mad excitement. But then you go and look at the results of a company like Meta. Now, you might have noticed in WhatsApp, whether you like it or not, it seems you're forced to ask Meta AI a question or two. Because basically, if you just bump your screen in the wrong place, suddenly it gives you some exotic answer to a question you never asked. Now, that's a really silly example, but it's also not, because what Meta is doing is taking their Llama AI engine and they are rolling it out across their apps, basically. Now, that's interesting and that's exciting for the future. Now you go and read a Meta earnings transcript and you listen to what Mark Zuckerberg is saying about what they want to do with AI. I think these latest Meta earnings were probably some of the most coherent and strongest that I've seen from the business in the whole time I've been following it. So even without going and doing the fancy valuation work and everything else, you can kind of logically look at this and say, okay, what's more interesting right now? What Meta is doing or what Apple are doing?
Mm.
And just with that alone, you can make some pretty smart decisions, I think, around your money, and you know where to go and read further. And in the process, you'll pick up all kinds of other things. You know, if someone is searching within Meta's ecosystem, that means they're not Googling. Now, what does that mean long-term for Google and its advertising revenue? How much of that might end up going to Meta? So this is the kind of stuff that you can start to think about when you just read as much as humanly possible. And when I say read, I don't mean, you know, the CNBC headline and the first paragraph of that article. All these earnings transcripts are public. If you go onto Meta Investor Relations, go and find their earnings release, go and find the transcript and go read it. Be astounded how much you'll pick up.
Exactly. Thank you so much, as always, for making this so interesting to read. And of course, read and understand. But I'm also trying to make sure that a lot of our listeners also read your newsletter, because you really simplify things. Even adding some humor, depending on which part of the world you might be in as well. Right, Ghost?
Thank you. I certainly try. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of Ghostmail, is to kind of just take a lot of this difficult stuff and try make it more accessible and show you how to read further. So if that appeals to people, then absolutely, that's what that newsletter is for.
Definitely. Thank you so much, as always, for your time and for helping us just navigate the noise of the market that we do see for today and perhaps much more of the week. Thanks again, Ghost.
Thank you for having me, as always. Ciao.
Thank you. That is Finance Ghost, who's joined us this evening to help us literally answer a question. The markets are having a sale, essentially. There's been a significant sell-off that we see globally. So does that mean that there is opportunity for us to buy in the dips? Certainly. But make sure that you do your research in terms of understanding how it is that you get exposure, especially to some companies on the international market front. And this is where I get excited, because all these brands and household names and companies that we become familiar with, as you heard Ghost mention, the likes of Microsoft, Uber, Meta.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.